Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And here it comes, Mac Jones in a clean pocket, floats it for McCaffrey, makes the catch, touchdown, San Francisco! Picture-perfect throw from Mac Jones to Christian McCaffrey to cap a beautiful two-minute touchdown drive.
I didn't tell him anything. You know, Mac's played a lot of football games. He's won a lot of games. You know, he's been in that position before, and you know, we all had full confidence in him. He had confidence in us, and I love the way he plays. He plays with so much swagger. You know, he gives it his all. He's so loose on the sideline and a great leader. So, you know, with a guy like Brock down and having Mac come in and step up like that was awesome.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All right, that sound courtesy of Fox, and that was Christian McCaffrey. He had a touchdown reception yesterday. Evan Giddings in for Daryl the Guru Johnson, and we're talking about the 49ers who've started their season 2-0. And I'm hearkening back to about 2 weeks ago when I think it was on a Thursday, Evan, where we were at the summit and we found out that Christian McCaffrey had gotten banged up in practice and that he was working out on the side. He's since played two games. How do you feel about Christian McCaffrey? Is he the same? And let me ask 49er fans this too, but Evan will answer first. Does that look like the Christian McCaffrey of 2 years ago?
No.
Oh.
I don't think he does, particularly running the ball. But that's not really the point of the season to me. He's been active for two games. That's half of the games he was active for last year. To me, this season is less about if McCaffrey is the same running back as he was from 2023, which, at least by my estimation, is I think we've seen the best of McCaffrey. But can he remain healthy for the entire season? That, to me, is the bigger question that so far has been yes. You know, and we're going to see how many games he plays. We're going to see how many times he's used. And I think it was one of our callers from last segment brought up the fact that Shanahan, you know, looked to be a different sort of play caller. I already think from week one to week two, like he dialed back McCaffrey. He didn't give him the ball as much as he did when Brock Purdy was under center in Seattle. I don't know if he deemed the game not demanding it, but I thought that was also a good sign. The fact that you won a game and Christian McCaffrey didn't have to touch the ball more than any other player in the NFL like he did in week one.
This from the Boxer and Gerson work injury attorneys text line from the 615. It's David 615 saying CMC still looks a little timid to me. His cuts don't look as crisp. I saw a couple tackles that he could have avoided 2 years ago that he got tackled on yesterday. All right, that's from David. If he doesn't look like he did 2 years ago, he's, you know, this is the old, he looks to me 80-85% of who he's been. And I do think that having him out there is half the battle. I think you're right on that one. And when he's out on the field, whether you go to him or not, he's somebody that's got to take the attention from the defense. And so that's why he's so important to this team, even when he doesn't carry the ball.
But Shanahan also, like, did you notice who got the ball first play out of the third quarter, out of the locker room?
No. I can't remember the first play.
Brian Robinson Jr.
Okay.
The first play out of the locker room when you're trying to lap your opponent, right? The middle 8 minutes are the most important minutes of the game, according to Kyle Shanahan. So you score with McCaffrey going into the locker room, you come out of halftime, and the first guy to touch the ball is Brian Robinson Jr. I think that's intentional. And I think that Shanahan is trying to find ways, or understood maybe after week one, someone got to him. Maybe he went back and said that's too much. But he made, I think, he made a choice to not use McCaffrey as much in that football game. And to me, that's the needle that Shanahan is going to have to thread throughout the season to keep him upright, but also to win football games. And so if you're looking at McCaffrey specifically, his production is first and foremost, but his workload is pretty close to being the second most important part about his game. And the fact that you won it, and McCaffrey only touched the ball 19 times compared to 31, that's a win-win.
This is Kyle Shanahan on the overall look of the offense and who pitched in yesterday.
Every phase, offense, even special teams, really contributed in that win. That was real cool. The offense finishing the second quarter, the end of the half with a TD. We had that bad turnover to start the third. I think they went down and scored. Fred's turnover was huge. JJ to get that 40-yarder after that turnover was big on capitalizing. And then the teams, those two punts at the end by Morse, going to the 6 and the 10 on those last two drives, I believe, were huge. So everyone had their part in not doing great, but everyone also had their part in doing really well, which ended in a win, and it was a hell of a deal.
All right, that's Kyle Shanahan. I could tell he liked that win yesterday.
Did you hear what he mentioned in that cut, which he never talks about? Or hasn't talked about in I can't remember how long.
Can I take another listen?
Yeah, listen closely.
Every phase, offense, even special teams, really contributed in that win. That was real cool. The offense finishing the second quarter, the end of the half with a TD. We had that bad turnover to start the third. I think they went down and scored. Fred's turnover was huge. JJ to get that 40-yarder after that turnover was big on capitalizing. And then the teams, those two punts at the end by Morse, going to the 6 and the 10 on those last two drives, I believe, were huge. So everyone had their part in not doing great, but everyone also had their part in doing really well, which ended in a win, and it was a hell of a deal.
Well, I didn't understand what he said at the end there. Was that it?
It was the first sentence.
Everybody had a hand in it. They didn't have a hand in it. Not good, but pretty good and not good.
There's a unit we haven't heard Kyle Shanahan talk about in a positive fashion, it feels like, for over a year.
I don't discriminate versus anyone.
Special teams. He called out the punter. Thomas Morstead got a post-game podium display of affection from Kyle Shanahan. When was the last time you heard Kyle call out special teams and give them a compliment?
Oh, I would say...
outside of trying to mask the deficiencies of his kicker.
Well, 3 weeks ago, he said Moody had one of the greatest kicking games he's ever seen in his entire coaching career. Now, it was an exhibition game, but nevertheless.
So it didn't count.
We've heard him praise this... we've heard him praise Moody. Not Mooney, rather.
All three phases. Like, he mentioned... And, by the way, he's not wrong. Like, Thomas Morstead pinning the Saints inside the 10 twice is a part of the defense being able to make those two last stands. If he punts it into the end zone, maybe that second drive, which starts at the, you know, the 30 or the 35, it gets a little more dicey. But the Saints go three and out on the second to last drive. And then obviously Warner makes a big play on Johnson, and Huff makes the final play on fourth down to get him off the field. But special teams, like you saw yesterday, and I know they missed an extra point, but you saw how important the third phase of football can be. We just haven't witnessed it because it feels like the special teams has not been an existent part of this football team.
What if I told you that not the 44-yarder, but the 46-yarder by Pinheiro? I'm watching it go right down the middle, and I'm like, that's the way a field goal should look. That's the way a field goal should look. We haven't had many of those.
Well, the 44 and the 46 are both pretty pure. Well, I know he missed the extra point, but...
The 46 was the one that jumped out at me because he'd hit the 44, and then the 46 was the one that got him, you know, put him up 5 instead of 2, and it was a couple no-doubters. So that was good to see if you're a 49er fan. This is Shanahan talking about Christian McCaffrey and how he played.
I thought Mac played real well. We had a number of things we had to change up. It was a big deal losing Juice there early in the game, especially with Kittle out, just the stuff we had to do with other tight ends. So we were scrambling there for a little bit, trying to figure some things out. Thought he handled the situation well. Thought he delivered the ball real well. Obviously, wouldn't like to have that fumble back. Hopefully, we can get rid of it a little earlier. It didn't look like anyone was really open, though. But I thought he did a hell of a job.
That was about Mac Jones, and I've noticed it said this is the way Shanahan feels about Mac.
Yeah.
And then it got cut off, so I thought it was McCaffrey, but he actually meant Mac Jones.
Oh, there's only one Mac.
Yes, yes.
The return of the Mac, Steiny. There's only one.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, on Odyssey Sports Station in the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries, always live on the free Odyssey app, coming to you live from Laughing Monk Studios, Laughing Monk, righteously brewed in San Francisco. Let's go to Leroy. Leroy's in Oakland, wants to talk about that win yesterday. What's up, Leroy? How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic, Steiny. What's up, Evan, man? Happy Monday, guys.
Same to you.
Yeah, no, awesome. Awesome, awesome win. Steiny, you know I had the 49ers in the first six games going 2-6. So I am ecstatic that they have started out 2-0. I'm so glad that I was wrong. And I want to give some credit to the players, the individual players who I was like last week, like, look, I'm the worst Kyle Shanahan hater.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
There is, but I'm getting ready to get off Kyle Shanahan's back. I said this last week, and now it's up to the players to just execute Kyle Shanahan's game plan. Focus. Catch the balls you're supposed to catch. Limit the turnovers. And boy, it seems like each player is now taking it upon themselves to go, hey, I got to get out here and execute Kyle Shanahan's game plan. And they did that, and it was so awesome. And another thing that was awesome to see was, like, last week, I gave Ben Bartsch my personal game ball, number 78 on that offensive line. I thought he was great. He got hurt yesterday, and I was a little worried. But my game ball this week is going to his replacement, man. Connor Colby did an excellent job. He didn't miss too much yesterday, and he came right in and did his job. So I am ecstatic. I hope that the 49ers can keep this up. I'm in wait-and-see mode, but so far so good, and I'm happy, man. Can I say one more thing? If I had to nitpick a little bit, it was the time of possession, right? We're usually killing teams and even good teams in the time of possession area. And yesterday, New Orleans was really close. I think we had a little over 30 minutes. They were right at 29. They were almost even. So to have that against a pretty bad team, to almost even it up on the time of possession, we got to, you know, watch that a little bit. But overall, man, we did great.
Thanks, Leroy. Appreciate the call. This is Christian McCaffrey. Well, oh, go ahead. This is going to play a little sound, but go ahead.
No, yeah. I just wanted to say that the reason was because the Saints ran the ball a lot better than the Niners did.
Yes, they did.
And Connor Colby, by the way, was 100% in pass protection. So he did not give up a pressure when he stepped in for Bartsch. And I think that was part of the reason why they threw the ball a lot more with Mac Jones, or I should say we're allowed to. And I know Mac got sacked three times and one time, you know, put the ball in the turf, but I thought the offensive line did a pretty darn good job of making sure that he was comfortable. And the only times that I thought he looked nervous in the pocket was the first drive of the game, when it wasn't just because of pressure. I just think it was nerves of him being out there for the first time this season. So the offensive line, I thought, played really well considering Trent Williams had a bounce-back game, and after struggling against Seattle, was really good, I thought, yesterday. And probably one of the reasons why they threw the ball more is just because they couldn't get it going on the ground. They ran it 26 times and only had 77, and that's 3 yards a pop.
I feel like Mac Jones and Purdy can afford to kind of stay in the pocket for an extra count or two and still make something happen. The one thing I thought Jones did a nice job of yesterday is, like, he, when he was decisive and kind of took off from the pocket, I think that's the way he's got to do it. Like, he's got to.
That 13-yard run?
Yeah, he's got to run before he gets, before the trouble, like, he's, As soon as he sees trouble, he's got to run. He can't put himself into a position that Purdy can put himself into and maybe get out of it. But, you know, all things considered, I mean, I don't know that you could have asked for a better performance from a backup quarterback. And I, you know, I'll give Mac Jones a lot of credit for that. And you got to give Kyle Shanahan a lot of credit for that. This is more Kyle Shanahan on Mac Jones.
Just how he approaches every day. Every day he's on it. He never takes a day off. He's just, as far as how he works on the practice field, how he is in the meetings, he's always grinding. So he's been ready since OTA 1 and never felt any difference.
Kyle Shanahan on Mac Jones? Let me ask you a question. Do you think that it doesn't really matter now, but do you think Mac Jones is the guy that Shanahan's had his eye on for a while? You know what I mean? Like, do you think he was in the mix back with Trey Lance?
Yeah, of course. I think he was. But I think you also saw, for as good as Mac Jones was throwing the ball yesterday, I think you also saw why, and this isn't just a 49ers thing, I think this is more of a league-wide thing, why you can't take a statue that high in the draft. Like, so the Niners, Mac Jones was good yesterday. I thought he was really good. But he can only be that good if the offensive line is also keeping him clean, as much as they did. I thought there were some plays where, I mean, he held on to the ball, held on to the ball, held on to the ball, and no one was getting home. So if he's kept upright, Mac Jones can be a good quarterback. If there's pressure, I don't think Mac Jones can be a good quarterback. So you just have to have mobility at that position. And I think that that's why Brock Purdy is different. That's why he's a difference maker, is because he can use his legs, whereas Mac Jones cannot. So if you go back to that draft, obviously Trey Lance was not a good pick, was a bust. But at the same time, if you're in that war room and someone says, hey, Mac Jones is a good pocket passer, he's also got cement feet. Trey Lance at least can run a little bit, or so we thought, and that might have been the difference.
888-957-9570 is the number. 49er fans, your team is 2-0. You won a game yesterday with your backup quarterback throwing 3 touchdowns. And next week you got the Cardinals in your home opener. But let's talk about yesterday. And I think we've got to – I'm interested to know the way 49er fans view this particular game and where we're at in the season right now. A lot's been made of the schedule. Does that even matter right now if you're a 49er fan? The schedule has been the schedule for the last 6 months since it came out, and now you're 2-0 with a win over the New Orleans Saints. And how do you, like, if you were a 49er fan, how do you look at this, like, you're 2-0, your schedule's favorable, you've got 2 division games coming up right now. Like, are you not looking ahead, or are you not looking down the line and talking about what this team can accomplish, or are you just going week to week right now?
Yeah, it's a week to week league. Also, the Niners are playing with a backup quarterback without, like, 3 playmakers. I seriously, if people want to call in, and I encourage them to, 888-957-9570, if you're calling in and thinking about what this team can accomplish, I would like to know why. And it's as much about the people that aren't on the field as much as it is the people that are. Like, I think the Niners have looked good through 2 weeks, but Steiny, I mean, seriously, are you thinking about, like, are you forecasting right now how far this 49ers team can go after 2 weeks?
No, but I do think that after 2 weeks, it's kind of shaping up like we thought. It's going to be the Niners, the Seahawks, and the Rams probably. Although, you know, the Cardinals are 2-0 right now too. Yeah, I do. Like, I think I look at this as they are one of 2 or 3 teams that are going to challenge to win this division. And now, after what we've seen in the first 2 weeks, I have no reason to believe that they can't knock on the door and be one of those teams. But, like, honestly, I think if they would have started out 0-2, which obviously they're not, then that would look different. But right now, after 2 weeks, they're still in a position to do everything people want them to do, who are their fans, which is try to win the division and make the playoffs, and that's still in hand right now.
But you're asking a question that's not about their record. It's about their level of play.
Right. Right.
So, like, if you're seriously asking that question, you have to judge them not on the two wins that they have in the column, but on what you've seen from the football team. And I haven't seen a level that's been at the same place as Green Bay, even Philadelphia, and it was the other team, the Los Angeles Rams. So that's why I don't really want to play that game. Like, it's been 2 weeks, and in the NFC, they're one of the teams, but I'm not, like, why should we have to talk about this 49ers team as being an elite group? Like, I don't know if they are yet because they've been so hurt. But the fact that they've won games while being hurt puts them in a position to, in a month or two, challenge. But right now, that I guess to me that the question's kind of futile.
Well, I mean, the bottom line is
that, like, how am I supposed to judge the Niners' offense with Mac Jones under center? He's not going to be the quarterback when Brock Purdy comes back.
Well, I think you look at it and you say the offense looked pretty good with a backup quarterback yesterday, right?
Yeah, but how am I supposed to judge them against Green Bay?
Well, and that's kind of what I'm getting at. We're not going to be able to judge them against Green Bay this year. We're not going to be able to judge them against Philly this year. We're not going to be able to judge them against probably like the top six teams.
Well, we are when they play someone of that caliber, and hopefully they have their characters. But okay, so again, Brock Purdy's supposed to be out 2 to 5 weeks.
Okay.
So if he doesn't play in 3 weeks against the Rams, how am I supposed to judge this team? You know, like, to me, it's about, like, they're in survival mode right now. They have to survive these games, find ways to win, and I don't want to dismiss the credit that they deserve for doing that. That is why I think you're seeing an emotional Fred Warner in week two of a 17-game, six-month-long season, because he understands how difficult this is going to be for them. And I don't want to fast forward past all the good stuff, which is seeing if they can figure this out in real time.
888-957-9570 is the number. 49er fans, what did you make of that win yesterday against the New Orleans Saints? 26-21, you're 2-0 right now. And this is from the 480, good friend Lori in Phoenix. It's still 1 week at a time. Win as many games as you can while you get healthier. It's going to be a roller coaster this year. But if they can get some gritty wins, they have a shot to get themselves into the playoffs. Yeah, I'm on board with that. I actually think the both these wins Sunday and a week ago were pretty gritty. And I don't know if they would have lost them both last year, but they wouldn't have won them both last year. That much seems obvious. 888-957-9570 is the number. That segment was brought to you by Moderna.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.